Cookie wants to be a professional wrestler.
I'm Cookie Serratos, and I'm 11 years old.
She also wants to win all the medals. That's why Cookie and her family make every day count, squeezing out her best with Go-Go Squeeze.
Okay, Cookie, let's break for a Go-Go Squeeze.
Go-Go Squeeze fruit-on-the-go pouches are a nutritious snack made from 100% fruit with no sugar added.
Go, Cookie!
Because when you nurture your kids, you squeeze out the best in them. Squeeze out their best with Go-Go Squeeze. Not a low-calorie food. Products range from 11 to 13 grams of sugar and 60 to 70 calories per serving.
Let's see.
WHKW, W245CY, Cleveland, reminding you, it's time to get back to church this Sunday, a service of Salem Media Group. The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 31st day of July 2022, the last day of July. Wow, this summer is flying. I mean, it is just flying by, folks. Tonight, the title of my message is Witches and Warlocks and Wizards. Oh my. Now, there's an old saying that they can't see the forest because of all the trees. America is so engulfed on every side by sorcery, wizardry, witchcraft, and only a very, very small percentage of us recognize it. Really, I mean, there's only a very small percentage of us that can see what's happening. What is the reason for such ignorance? Well, it's biblical illiteracy. If we look at Hosea 4:6, we read, "My people are destroyed. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge." And in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, it talks about the simple-minded hate knowledge. They hate wisdom and knowledge. And that's exactly what's taking place. Everybody's going to and everywhere looking for answers except for where the answers are. And there's only one source, folks. Here, there's only one source of knowledge and wisdom that speaks with complete and total truth and complete and total authority. There's only one source of information that tells you exactly where everything, where it started, why it started, where we're going, and how we're getting there, and what the end will be. And that's God's word right here, this King James Bible. It's it. It truly is a living, breathing document. And so, let's start tonight in Nahum chapter 3. And here, if we read verses 1 through 4, it can be said about every major city in America today. And let's take a look. Woe to the bloody city. It is full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling on the wheels and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lifted up both the brightened sword and the glittering spear, and there's a multitude of slain, a great number of carcasses, and there's none end to their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Well, if we take a look right now, let's just say tonight in Chicago, I don't know what the death count's going to be in Chicago by tomorrow morning, but every weekend there's a lot of number of people killed. And it's not just Chicago. Washington, D.C. is another good example. New York City and Baltimore here. And when it says, you know, the bloody city full of lies and robbery, today it's not just smash and grab, you know, which, you know, was the big thing for a while. Just smash store windows, going into stores, smashing and grab. Now they've got a new racket where it's called hit and rob, where they sit in cars and they wait to see people crossing the street someplace, and they run into them, they run them over, and then they rob them when they're down on the ground dying. And this is what's taking place in your major cities. They're all run by Democrats. They're all run by unsaved people. And so here now, he says, the noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels. Well, that's what you have there, especially right here in Ohio and Columbus. And by the way, here, the noise of the whip. You've got human smuggling, where especially these young girls, are treated pretty rough. And they are whipped, maybe not with horse whips, but with whips, with belts. And they're told they're going to perform, or they can be killed for doing that. So you've got this shoot. And right at Columbus in Ohio here, we have a real problem with human trafficking, especially where it comes to the prostitution. And here he goes on to say, and there's a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses. Well, of course, like I said, in Chicago, we'll get a body count tomorrow for the weekend. Because of the multitude of whoredoms and the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Now, he's talking about Nineveh. Nineveh. It used its beauty and its prestige and its power to seduce other nations. Like a prostitute, she enticed them into false friendship. Then when the other nations relaxed, thinking Assyria was a friend, Assyria destroyed and plundered them. Beautiful and impressive on the outside, Nineveh was vicious and deceitful on the inside. Beneath that beautiful facade sometimes lies seduction and death. And so the message here for us is that don't let an attractive institution or company or movement or person seduce you. And this is exactly what's happening to lowering your standards. We see how easy it is to get people to lower their standards or compromising their moral principles, and yet trying to justify their compromise. And so here we go on. Behold, and by the way, folks, I just wanted to say, you know, if you ask most people, here's a pen and a paper, draw me a picture of a witch. You know, what you see over the years since we've been children and going back for decades and centuries here, women in long black dresses with pointed hats and warts on their nose and riding a broom. Well, we know that, yeah, there's a lot of feminists that way. And by the way, we know that rebellion is the same as witchcraft. And by the way, too, if you go out to the abortion mills, the bloody abortion mills, and you watch the cars that come in and the women that work at these abortion mills, how many of them have witchcraft bumper stickers, you know. Many of them, yes, they're involved in witchcraft. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nation thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. Now he's talking about here the city of Nineveh, the city of Nineveh. And it shall come to pass, you know, and I tell you what, I think this perfectly describes San Francisco. It really does. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Art thou better than populous? No. That was a situate among the rivers that had the waters around about, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea. Well, Thebes, was a city in Egypt. The previous world power withstood in the path of the Assyrians' expansion in the south. The Assyrians conquered Thebes 51 years before this prophecy was given to Judah, surrounding to the north and the south by Assyria. The situation appeared hopeless, but God said that the same atrocities done in Thebes would happen in Nineveh. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubim were thy helpers. Yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed into pieces at the top of all the streets. And they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Thou also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hid. Thou also shalt seek thy strength because of thy enemy. Now, here, there's no power on earth can protect us from God's judgment, folks. This is what God said he would do, and that's exactly what he did, okay? Here we see that what he did, there's no suitable substitute for his power in our lives. Thebes and Assyria put their trust in alliances and military power, but history would show these inadequate. So here, as we go on, we see, and all the strongholds shall be like fig trees with their first figs, with their first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. He's telling them exactly what he was going to do, how they are going to be conquered. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. In other words, all the men have been killed off. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies, and fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee water from thy siege, fortify thy stronghold, go into the clay, and tread the mortar, and make strong the bricklin. There shall be fire devour thee, and the sword shall cut thee off, and it shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm, make thyself many as the locust. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. Thy crown are like the locusts, and the captains are great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun arises, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria, thy nobles shall dwell in them. And the dust and the people is scattered amongst the mountains, and no man gathereth them. There is no healing of thy bruise, and thy wound is grievous. And all that hear the bruit of thee shall clap their hands over thee, for once whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually. So here, what he was saying, that all nations hated to be ruled by the merciless Assyrians, yet, but they wanted to be like Assyria. That's right, they wanted to be powerful, they wanted to be wealthy, prestigious. And they courted its friendship, as in the same way we don't like the idea of being ruled harshly, so we do what we can to stay in good terms with a powerful leader. Well, we kind of see America buckling down to China. China owns Washington, D.C. China owns the Biden crime cartel. They're bought and paid for by China. And this is why there is such a concern about America coming to the point where come this fall, and again, we talked about it time and time again, and we hope it don't manifest itself that way, but there's a lot of chatter out there, and we're talking from people in the know that as Austin and Milley continue to weaken our military, they continue to do everything they can to weaken our military, the time comes when we hear that, well, China is threatening to invade. There's a threat of war with China. We cannot win a war with China. Our military has become too weak. Yeah, thanks to Austin, thanks to Milley, thanks to, of course, the orders from the collective and Joe Obama. So what we need to do is we need to give in to and surrender to whatever their demands may be. And just remember, Nineveh was like D.C. and New York in all of its ways. Here, the compromises are almost complete, whether it's abortion, sodomy, LGBTQ, same-sex marriage, trials like you have in Washington, D.C., this January 6th thing. With only a prosecution and no defense, the corruption on that what they call the committee is complete. It is complete and total. There's not one person on that committee that has not been found to be a complete and total liar, folks. I'm not saying that to be mean or nasty, but they are. Every single one of them are complete and total liars. And here, let's go back to verse 4. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. That's exactly what they've done there in Washington, D.C. With the patriots, with the good people, with the God-fearing people, they've destroyed their families. And they let the... And here you've got the criminals. I mean the really corrupt people. Have gone after good people, and the good people have gone to jail and prison, and some have died. Now, here, as we take a look at this, we see that in all of my years in the prison ministry, one of the regrets spoken of by the prisoners, most often, is if I had only listened to the warnings of those around me, if I had only listened to their warnings. The Bible gives such clear descriptions of the attributes and characteristics of the wizardry and the witchcraft and the like. Now let's go over here for a minute. I had mentioned this earlier, but let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. Now, here, we see today, I mean, we have well-known witches today, very well-known witches, people, but the vast majority of the people don't realize. Hillary Clinton, for example, is the witch. She was the head witch of a covenant there in California. And she would fly down there, and she would go, and she would have her meetings. How do we know this? Well, Slick Willie, her husband, Bill Clinton, would talk about how Old Hill is going again to do her witch thing, and he would tell Larry Patterson to go, and Larry Nichols, go get the ladies. And they would find prostitutes, and they would take them over to Flowerwood. And again, folks, you say, well, I don't understand. Well, yeah, this is a part of the witchery. You see, here we had a witch coven not far from years ago. I don't know if it's still operating, but there was one in Mentor. And the witches were, they were witches. They had a witch coven, but they were also prostitutes. That's how they earned their living as prostitutes. But their goal was to infiltrate and destroy churches, and they would look for young pastors, inexperienced pastors, and they would go in and they would befriend the wives, the young wives of these pastors, and get set up to destroy the marriage and destroy the church. I want to hear, he says again, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Well, here again, it's not just among women. Remember Jerry Nadler said, God has no voice in Congress? Not a smart move, Nadler. Not a smart move at all. Now, King Saul, remember, he consulted with the Witch of Endor. And, Joe Biden consults with Kamala Harris and AOC, Nasty Pelosi, and a host of others. And I would have to put them on the very same level, if you will, of the Witch of Endor. Now, as we take a look, how does all of that apply today to us? Let's take a look. Now, as I was today, when I was trying to put this message together, I was inundated with and bombarded with interruptions, with distractions, anything and everything to disrupt, you know, my chain of thought while I was trying to put this message together. But then, finally, after that, as I was working and to put this message together, I ended up falling asleep. And so it was not an easy message to put together. And so today I'm going to go over to Isaiah chapter 19 and read verses 1 through 4. Now the burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fall in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over to the handful of a cruel lord, to the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, Egypt was the nation where God's people were enslaved for 400 years and was hated by the people of Israel. Yet Judah now was considering an alliance with Egypt against Assyria. But Isaiah warned against this alliance because God would destroy Assyria in his time. And so here, now think about this, if you would, just for a minute. Here, now again, there's only one place where you have all the answers. There's only one being in existence that has no problems but has all the answers. And what did they do here? Well, God did exactly what he said he would do. He went in and he set them against each other, Egyptian against Egyptian, brother against brother. And now here Israel, or Judah, you will, decided that they wanted to form a confederacy with the Egyptians to fight against Assyria. And so what did they do? When all of the confusion came in, when God set them against each other, the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek the idols to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. You say, well, why in the world would they not go to God? I mean, God has helped them. God took them out of Egypt. Well, you see, here's the problem. The problem was God expected them to be a holy people and live a holy life. In other words, they wanted God's help. Well, they had to change their ways. They didn't want to give up their sin. They didn't want to have to give up their idolatry. They didn't want to give up their orgies. They didn't want to give up all their sinful ways. And they would have to do that. They figured if they could go and stick to their witchcraft and their wizardry, well, they could continue and hopefully find out the future. Now, here's the problem. The problem is there's only one that really knows the future, because he is the future, and that's God. So instead of going to the only one that really could tell them the future, they went to wizards and witches. Not a smart move. Now, even after God had taken Israel out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage, again, after that, Judah decided she wanted to go back and form a confederacy with Egypt. Here, Isaiah warned them against such an alliance. And again, what did they do? They went to witches and wizards. Now again, today, folks, there are more witches and more wizards around today than ever. But they don't dress the same. A lot of them, in fact, they're controlled. And as we go through this, we'll see how the modern witch is working. I want to go over In fact, I tell you what, you'll find that most all of your universities, all of your law schools, all of your medical schools are filled with witches and wizards. In fact, here in the American Gynecological Association, they want to make it mandatory, they want to force before they can become doctors. They want to force the law or the medical students to do abortions, to kill babies. It's wicked. It's wicked as wicked gets. And they need to fight this, and they need to sue these people for everything they have. They need to sue that organization for its last penny. They need to give a massive class action lawsuit against them. I want to go over now to Isaiah chapter 8, and I want to read 19 through 22. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep. Well, you know, that word there, peep, means to whisper, to whisper. It's an interesting thing. It reminds me. Did you notice, too, on that illegitimate, that what they call the January 6th committee. Did you notice how, as those absolute corrupt people out there, folks, I mean, if you only knew what we knew, okay, just how corrupt they are. But if you notice how the people come out and they're all there sitting at the long table, if you will, or counter, and they come up and their aides come and they whisper things in their ears. They come and whisper. We notice this thing, too, in a lot of the courtrooms. where you're out there, somebody will come in and they'll whisper something to the bailiff, and the bailiff will go up and whisper to the judge. But here, today, with these, and we'll take a look at this because it gets pretty prevalent here. We see that these smartphones, are aiding and abetting in infidelity. Infidelity is on a super rise because of these smartphones. And it's mostly wives, these wives today, young wives especially, but cheating with single men or divorced men. And it's because these cell phones have given them this power, and it's like a, I don't know what you would call it. Now, it's not all wives, but the vast majority is these young wives. And here you'll notice, and how they get caught so often is that they'll be texting on their phone, and they'll be laughing. And I've heard this, there's been so many stories about this. Now, if you look at that the series on television, at Divorce Court and these others, where their husbands will see them laughing and texting, and they'll say, "What's so funny?" They come over to take a look. They want to find out what the joke is, and their wives will put the phone down and say, it's not none of your business, okay? This is my privacy. And right there, that's a red flag for these husbands. And what happens more often than not, the first chance the husband gets when his wife's in the shower or she's asleep, he gets a hold of her phone and he finds out who she's been texting, and find out how he's being betrayed. And this is really popular now, but the whispering part comes when he says, "And wizards that peep," that in the middle of the night, they'll be up and they'll be on their phones with their lovers, and they'll be whispering, they'll be talking. Often they'll go in the bathroom or go into another room, and their husbands will catch them. And it says, and to wizards, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, that means whisper, and mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law, and to the testimony? If they speak not according to his word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly be bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look into the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness and dimness. Dimness means gloom. Means gloom of anguish. And they shall be driven to darkness. Here, the people consult the wizards and mediums who try to seek answers from the dead people instead of consulting the living God. God and God alone knows the future. God is the future. Now, after rejecting God's plan for them, the people of Judah would blame God for their trials. And that's the same thing. I just heard a woman the other day, she was blaming God for all of her problems. That even though she tried and everything, God wouldn't hear her. And he goes on here, and the people will continue. They'll continue to blame God for their self-induced problems. So how do you respond to the unpleasant results of your own choices today? The folks like these women who we're talking about, do you know how they respond? Every time, it seems like 100% of the cases almost, with those young women we were talking about, when their husbands snoop on their phones and find out and they confront them, they always deny it. They always deny it. Until the husband takes them and shows them the text messages that they've got caught. And so here the people, again, were consulting their wizards and trying to learn. The Bible says, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, the dead know not nothing. They were trying to find out, instead of going to God, to the future. Now today, we have Alexis. People want to know, Alexis, what is the weather going to be like tomorrow, Alexis? Alexis, when is Donald Trump coming into town? Alexis or Siri? Siri keeps popping up on my phone. And so they go to artificial intelligence. Now, in the old days, they used to go to Ouija boards or tarot cards or whatever else can be found easily. Today, on those smartphones, you know, one of the reasons, the reasons the Democrats hate Donald Trump and the reasons they hate Christians so much is because they're constantly being told that they should hate us. That's right. And you get a lot of that, they pick up right off their smart aleck phones and their tablets. And again, those smart aleck phones and those tablets have made it much, much easier to cheat on their spouses. And so I want to go now over to Micah. And in Micah chapter 5, and as I go to Micah chapter 5, where's my... there we go. I've got to wet my whistle. Been a long day. What happens if you don't wet your whistle now and then? You lose your voice. And that's not a good thing when you do radio 6 or 7 days a week. And the remnant of Jacob, I'm in Micah chapter 5, starting with verse 8 through 15. Now here, during the millennial kingdom, the Jew and the Gentile, they're going to live together in peace without the need of an army. And the cell phone will no longer control the minds of the people. They'll all be gone. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will cause the people to once again rebel and rise up against God. And God will execute his vengeance upon them quickly. Now, here. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many. Now, this again is taking place during the millennial kingdom. As a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who, if he go through both, treadeth down and teareth in pieces, none can deliver. Now, during the millennial kingdom, Jesus Christ will be ruling. He will be the world government. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the world government. Now, we will be, the born-again believers today will be there, and we will be his government officials. We will be like during that time, like mayors and governors and whatever. And so, but judgment will be instantaneously. When people, they can think whatever they want, but when they violate the law, God will deal with them. Now, those that are born on the first day will live since Christ will be there with them. As long as they don't violate God's laws, then they will live through the entire 1,000 years. And here, now listen to this. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion in the flocks of sheep, who, if he could go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted upon thine adversaries, and thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord, I will cut off thy houses of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. Well, here again, there will be no need at all for an army. There would be no need for an army at all because here, and that's what he's talking about horses and chariots. In those days, he referred to the king that had the most horses and the chariots had the largest army. Well, there will be no need at all because the Lord Jesus himself will be ruling. And I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down the strongholds, and I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand. Isn't that interesting? I will cut the witchcraft out of thine hand. Now, this is during the millennial kingdom. And what is it that the people walk around? I was getting my oil changed at a dealership, and as I was in there, there was a number of people, probably 6-7 other people, sitting there in the waiting room, and every one of them had their smart aleck phones in their hand. All of them. I was in a restaurant, and there was a family there, and the parents and all three kids, all of them, had their smart aleck phones with them. They sit at a dinner table, and they don't converse. They don't talk anymore. They text. This is what you see everywhere. And here he says he's going to, and it's come to pass, I will cut off, well, let me see. And I will cut off the cities of thy land. And he says, I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Well, you know, that's exactly, it's really an interesting thing there. If you look at it, what are people looking for? Like I was saying, they go up there and they ask Alexis, you know, a soothsayer is a fortune teller. That's what a soothsayer is. Alexis, you know, who's coming to town next week? When is President Trump coming? What is the weather going to be like tomorrow? You know, they're asking for to tell the future. Now, what will be the price of gold? You know, and they'll call on Alexis or Siri today. And so he goes on to say, and the graven images also will I cut off, and the standing images of the midst of thee, and thou shalt have no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy the cities, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as have not heard. Now, right at the end, right of that, at the end of that millennial kingdom, God, Satan, once again, right at the end, Satan will rise up. The Lord will let him loose out of the pit. He'll be cast down into a pit of darkness. And right at the end of the millennial kingdom, he will be loosened for just a little while. It'll give him just enough time to get out and to get the people to rebel again against God. And then when that happens, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Well, I want to go over to Galatians chapter 5 here. And in Galatians chapter 5, I've got to wet my whistle again. I'm sorry, but we read this, starting with verse 16. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirits, you are not under the law. Now that's an interesting thing that he's telling you, that you're not under the law if you're led by the Spirit. And here, what does he mean by that? Well, then you're under the spirit of the law and not the letter of the law. And he's telling them, you know, because we can never, ever, ever fulfill the letter of the law, folks. You know, you just couldn't do it. And here, he's saying, if your desires are leading you to the, to what he's speaking of here earlier, then you know the Holy Spirit is leading you. At the same time, you must beware of confusing your feelings with the Spirit's leading. Now, here, what are we talking about here? If you have, if you, as he says here, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit's against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. You have your old nature and your new nature. If you're a born-again Christian, you have your natural lust. What? The lust of the flesh. You want to enjoy fleshly things, fleshly pleasures, things that make you feel good, eating so much, drinking, so you might want to drink so much or whatever. But if the Holy Spirit is working in you, he says this, so that you cannot do the things that you would, but if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, here, you know, under the law, the law was given to us to show us just how far we were from being able to fulfill the law, which was God's standards, God's law, and to obtain salvation. We couldn't do it. There's just no way we could do it because sin dwelt within our flesh. And here now, you know, he's talking about things, again, of the flesh. Again, the lust, maybe, you know, especially nowadays, you know, for sex or for drugs or whatever today that you have, you know, for, you know, gluttony is a major problem today. And so he's telling you that if the Holy Spirit, if you're working, he says, so that you cannot do the things that you would, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, we're under the spirit of the law and not the letter of the law. All the letter of the law could do would be to condemn us. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, with strife and seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revilings, and such, like of that which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now here, when he talks about this, these things, where he uses words, well, for example, the works that are in the flesh manifest. Manifest simply means makes evident. Uncleanness, obviously, is impurity, and lasciviousness means debauchery. This lasciviousness is the same as debauchery. And when he goes here and he says, and hatred and variance. Variance is discord. It means discord. Emulations. Emulations is jealousy. It means this is the same word that we would use for jealousy. Strife is selfish ambitions. Seditions. Seditions are dissensions. And, of course, heresies that you have, the different heresies. What he's talking about are different factions. Revilings are the same as carousing, if you will. And then, of course, what he's referring to here when he says long-suffering, that means patience. And so here, walking in the Spirit is obedience to the Word of God. The more that you walk in the Spirit, the more that you will be prompted to be led by the Spirit. And, of course, the works of the flesh are all being... the works of the flesh are all being taught. In our case, public schools and universities. This results in the manifestation of babies being born right there at the University of Pittsburgh. Babies, full-born babies, babies that are carried to term. These women, and sometimes very wicked women, will actually give birth and carry a baby to term and to sell that baby to be experimented on, to be for the money, for the greed, the wickedness. Today, I mean, this is witchcraft. These are very wicked women, and this is pure witchcraft out there today. And so they go to places like, and they dissect these little babies for their organs. And here you see this big push for pornography in the public schools. Well, right now, there's several battles taking place where, and just recently, you had a father in one of the schools stand up and say, okay, I'm going to read. I want to read to you. And people, if there's any children, this is what that public school where his children were, what they had in the library. And they said, no, you know, if you read what we're giving to your children, if you read that out here, that indecent stuff, filth that we're giving to your children, you'll be arrested. That's how corrupt. In other words, we want to lay this on your children, but we don't want you to read it out here. Now, did you ever notice something too? All of these people, especially those that are in public education, more than any other profession, send their children to private schools, Christian schools, or homeschool them. Those public school teachers, because they don't want what they're teaching and what's available there. They don't want their children to be exposed to that. So there's the pornography in the libraries, the critical race theory. In other words, basically what the CRT is, that throughout history, out of the different races, by the way, there's only one race. What they mean by that is nationalities, folks. There's only one race that's called the human race. The Bible refers to it as humankind, okay? A kind means bloodline. All people come down through the bloodline of Adam. So there's only one human race, but there are a number of different nationalities. And so here, what critical race theory teaches is that white people have had it throughout history, that we've been treated the best, and the black people have been treated the worst. So now they want to reverse that. They wanted to say, okay, we're going to force and we're going to treat white people bad. Folks, there's so much of revisionist history out there. And if you really look into it, when you've had the slave trade, and by the way, throughout history, the Muslims had just as many white slaves as they had black slaves or whatever. Whoever they could conquer, it didn't matter what country it was, they became their slaves. And that still is actually taking place today in many places. In fact, right here in America with this human smuggling, okay, it's still taking place. Now here, what is he referring to? This witchcraft in the public school system. You have drag queens in New York City pushing. I have one of my articles here shows the picture of a topless drag queen with a little child, leading a little child by the hand. Any parents that would allow their children to go into those schools with a drag queen don't care much for their children. And I tell you, and I certainly have no respect for those parents at all. None. But the other thing, part of this big witchcraft, and folks, believe me, this is witchcraft, is the push for gender change, the mutilation of sex organs, and the promotion of LGBTQ, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. The same-sex bathrooms in the public pool systems, the same-sex showers, they're determined on putting boys and girls, naked boys and girls in the showers together. These are sick people. But this is witchcraft. They want to change the meaning of words today. Who is the author? The Bible said God is not the author of confusion. And where is this coming from, the author of this confusion? Remember, a while back, just a year or so ago, women were referred to as birthing people. Women were referred to as birthing people. But then all of a sudden they decided that they really didn't know what a woman was, because now they've decided that men can have their periods, menstrual periods, and men can have babies, and men can nurse their babies. Well, folks, let me tell you something. You see, if they're having a period and they're giving birth, they are not men. They are not men. And this is insanity, this liberalism, Democratic Party insanity. But what is it really? It's witchcraft and wizardry. And so even the meaning of words. And they remember nursing mothers? Now they call them chest feeders. And they're changing the name of pedophiles now to something that prefer, okay, to people that prefer younger children, whatever. There's a new name they've got for their pedophiles. But I just want to close with the greatest source today in of witchcraft and wizardry is Big Pharma. Remember, pharmakia means wizardry. This is where you get the word pharmacy. And Big Pharma, Pfizer, and these drug companies are by far the biggest promoters of wizardry and witchcraft. And this is, you know, it's a lot of people, you know, it goes right over their head. They're clueless. There's only a very small percentage of us that really understand what is happening around us. And that's exactly what it says in Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 20, the simple-minded. It refers to those simple-minded that don't want the truth. They know what it is they want to hear, and that's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. Well, we're out of time for tonight. And remember, folks, the time will come. As we say, the time will come when many, 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 many will run out of tomorrows tonight. The time will come, and this will happen. It's going to happen tonight. When the only thing that will matter to you, for many, many, tonight this will happen. The only thing that will matter to them is their standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God recognizes two kinds of people, those that are saved and those that are lost. And folks, again, when the preacher gives an invitation and tells you that you need to pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sins, and then ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations, that the preacher's just a messenger. The message is coming from God. He's giving you one more warning. And folks, if you've heard that warning, and tonight, if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is telling you one more time, you need to do that. You're running out of time. You're running out of time. And we're running out of time tonight, too. So it's been an interesting day. Boy, and I am ready for bed tonight. It really am. I'm beat. And so as we come up on this time, as we do every night at this time, where we say good night. God bless. And until tomorrow, always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting. And I mean keep fighting. There you go. I'm running the clock down. Keep fighting the fight. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.